Jeffrey had been very excited about having his own room in the new house until it came time to go to bed. On their first night after they moved in, Jeffrey's father prayed with him, kissed him goodnight, turned out the light, and walked downstairs. Suddenly, Jeffrey realized he was all alone. Within moments, he was out of bed and in his father's arms. "What's wrong, Jeffrey? Don't you like your new room?" "Yes, but I don't like being in there alone." "Don't worry, you're not alone. God is always by your side." "I know, but I'm still afraid. Can you stay with me tonight?" "Don't you believe that God is there to keep you safe?" "Yes, Daddy, but I want a God with skin on." I think there are times when all of us want a God with skin on, especially when we're frightened or alone or in the dark. We want a voice to comfort us and a hand to hold. Our scriptures this weekend are about trusting, about having faith, about being able to discern the fact that God is always with us. In our first reading, Elijah is on the run from Queen Jezebel, who wants him dead. He's afraid, he's exhausted, he's sick of it all, and he's stuck in the middle of nowhere. So he decides to take shelter in a cave at the mountain of God and lies down and goes to sleep. But the angel of the Lord comes to him and wakes him and says, "Go and stand outside at the mouth of the cave, for I will pass by." And so Elijah goes to the mouth of the cave and waits. The wind blows, the earth quakes, the fire rages, and suddenly a still whisper breaks the silence. God speaks. God's word comes to Elijah not with all of nature's noises, but in the silence of Elijah's heart. And Elijah begins to hear God in a new way. Like Moses, after a similar 40-day period, Elijah, too, is given a glimpse of God. Then God sends Elijah on his journey. But this time, God reminds Elijah that he's not alone. And then in last week's gospel, we heard how Jesus fed the crowds with a few loaves and fish. Today we hear the rest of the story. As the gospel begins, Jesus insists that the disciples go ahead of him to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. It's time for both the master and the disciples to take a breather from each other. So Jesus goes up to the mountain to rest and to pray, and Peter and his friends go for a boat ride and end up dealing with strong winds and rough seas that almost sinks their boat. And suddenly, in the midst of the storm, Jesus appears to them walking on the water. But they think that Jesus was a ghost, and they become even more afraid. As if their imminent watery deaths were not enough to worry about, here is Jesus terrorizing them. But Jesus tries to calm their fears and says, "Get hold of yourselves, guys. It's me. Don't be afraid." And with typical bravado, Peter puts Jesus to a test. "Okay, Jesus, if it's really you, command me to come to you on the water." And Jesus quickly says, "Okay, come." And stepping into the water, Peter steps out of the boat confidently at first, but is then shaken by the storm and the stress and loses heart and begins to sink. And as Jesus always does, he reaches out to Peter and rescues him, and at the same time rebukes him for his little faith. Where is your faith? Why did you doubt me? And by the time they finally get back in the boat, the wind had stopped and the sea became calm. And the disciples' fear is replaced with calm and awe. And Peter and the disciples recognize Jesus as the Lord. Thus, Jesus' rebuke of Peter is not a put-down, but a challenge to grow in faith. My friends, even though we sometimes don't recognize Jesus, Jesus is there in the midst of our storms and the struggles of our lives. In so many ways, Jesus has already shown us the love he has for us. So why do we doubt? Why do we hesitate? Because perhaps we're so used to depending on ourselves. Yet we hear Jesus say over and over and over again, "Take courage, do not be afraid." But it's only when we take our eyes off the Lord, as Peter did, that we begin to sink. In Matthew's gospel, Peter is a model for all of us. Peter is called by Christ, but suffers from uncertainty and doubt throughout his whole life, only to fail and deny Jesus during the Passion. Yet, at each stage, Peter is rescued and strengthened by Jesus. And that's why Peter is a symbol for the pilgrim church that often misunderstands Jesus, that struggles with doubt, often with that little faith, and sometimes even abandons Jesus in time of trial. Yet time after time, Jesus appears with the words, "Take courage, don't be afraid." Brothers and sisters, as wonderful as life is, it can also be frightening at times. There are waves and winds and fires of all kinds. We who receive the Lord into our boats are invited to keep rowing, to keep going, and to bring the Lord's calm to the storms of our individual worlds. Jesus still reaches out and pulls us up when we call out and put our trust in him. We have no reason to think that Jesus would not extend his hand to ours and save us. The readings today invite us to come into Christ's presence even when the storms rage and it's hardest to believe. As St. Augustine once wrote, "Those who keep faith with Jesus can walk upon the waves of the storms of life." One of my homiletic professors from St. Meinrad's Archabbey, Father Garrick de Bona, put it so well. "Even in our turmoil, especially there, God is with us. Take courage, breathe deeply, and know that God loves you." My friends, like the little child we hear about in the story I shared at the beginning of the homily this morning, don't worry. You're not alone. Have faith. Have courage. Trust God, because God is always by your side. Amen.